T-Mobile and Sprint have merged. And T-Mobile doesn't just have a bigger network, but a... T-Mobile and Sprint.
Back to 1968, when the Beatles started a 9-week run at number one on the singles charts with Hey Jude, Paul McCartney's song written about John Lennon's son Julian. It's the Beatles' 16th number one hit, the best-selling single of 1968 as well. On this day in 1968, the Beatles at number one with Hey Jude. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve on the Steve Gruber Show. Joined now by Dan McLaughlin, senior writer at National Review. Find his work at nationalreview.com. Also on Twitter, at BaseballCrank. Dan, it's quite the week. Amy Cody Barrett, baseball playoffs begin. Debate, what's not to like?
Well, we live in interesting times, Scott.
Indeed. We find officially over the weekend that Amy Cody Barrett is the president's choice to fill the open U.S. Supreme Court seat. You've done a lot of work. People can find it at nationalreview.com on precedent. What's happened in the past, why Republicans are essentially in the right and have some backup for trying to do this before Election Day?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a certain popular conception, perhaps, that Mitch McConnell is just making all this up as he goes along. And there's no question that McConnell is doing in 2020 what he wants to do, just as he was doing in 2016 what he wanted to do. But, you know, historical precedent does support him. There have been 29 prior instances of a presidential opportunity to make a nomination for the Supreme Court in an election year or in some cases in the lame duck session following an election. From the president's point of view, in all 29 cases, the president made a nomination. So, you know, President Trump is on solid ground doing this just as President Obama was 4 years ago. It's the question of historical precedent then shifts to the Senate. What does the Senate do with those nominations? Well, in 10 prior cases, the Senate was controlled by the opposing party to the president, and only 1 out of 10 of those presidents got their nominee through before the election. Two more got them through after the election only when their party won the presidential election. And so, you know, the opposing party Senate made it cut a deal at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in 19 cases, we've had what we're having this year, which is that the president and the Senate were controlled by the same party, and 17 out of 19 of those, the president got his man. And one of the others was only a technicality. George Washington nominated a guy who was ineligible for the job until the next Congress had arrived, so he had to resubmit the nomination, who was then unanimously confirmed.
Dan McLaughlin with us from National Review. Find his work at nationalreview.com. Dan, unlike last time when there was great uncertainty about who the president was going to pick, and ended up being Brett Kavanaugh, this time it appeared from very early on, you know, all signs pointed to Amy Cody Barrett. There really wasn't any question outside of a big curveball thrown by the president. It was going to be her as his choice. What do you think were the circumstances that led that to happen? Why was it such a slam dunk that Amy Coney Barrett was going to be the choice?
Yeah, I think the president, and actually if you look back at the Kavanaugh and Gorsuch picks, the president has in each case gone with the person who was, I guess, the favorite from the start. There was definitely more uncertainty with Kavanaugh, and one reason there was more uncertainty was that some folks wanted the president to pick Judge Barrett at the time.
Mm-hmm.
She was, I think, more popular with sort of your social conservative activists, whereas Justice Kavanaugh was more popular with, you know, he was a former Kennedy clerk who was picked to replace Kennedy. He had a lot of supporters in and around the White House from having worked for George W. Bush. So I think as you move here, you know, there was a conventional wisdom even at the time that Trump wanted to save Barrett because she's a woman, mm-hmm. To replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So by the time you got here, there was certainly some debate about a few other candidates. Trump made it obvious that he was going to pick a woman. But I think, you know, Barrett, because she was the obvious next in line, was really a logical pick this time around.
Dan, Amy Coney Barrett over the weekend says that, you know, she clerked for Judge Antonin Scalia, Justice Antonin Scalia, and his judicial philosophy is mine. What does that mean to you?
Well, I mean, well, first of all, politically, it means that it's pretty easy for both sides to draw up their battle lines because they can simply view Barrett as a proxy for Scalia, which is not necessarily going to be 100% true. Just because she believes in the same philosophy doesn't mean she's going to come out exactly the same way. Even I think Justice Scalia didn't necessarily end up agreeing with all of his own decisions. But, I mean, Scalia was really the most influential justice of the past half century in terms of somebody who had a very rigorous way of looking at the Constitution through text and history and tradition. And so it gives a certain sense that Judge Barrett is going to be someone who will follow that procedure in deciding cases and not simply run around, you know, making decisions that are based solely on what outcome she wants to reach.
Dan McLaughlin from National Review. We've got about 30 seconds left here. When do you expect? It sounds like hearings October 12th. So if that's the case, you know, again, based on historical precedent, I guess, when might we see a vote in the Senate?
I mean, I assume that Republicans are going to want to get a vote done before the election. I assume they will press for an immediate vote in the Judiciary Committee, probably the day after the hearings, and then try to get that nomination to the Senate floor within another day or two. If there's not a major controversy, I assume that Barrett will get the support of all the Judiciary Committee Republicans, which is what's needed to get the nomination to the floor. The Democrats undoubtedly have a variety of procedural obstacles they're going to
attend. Got to run here up against